You're listening to the Family Matters Podcast, brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Join Derek A. Straker and Patrick Webb weekly for faith-fueled conversations about pressing issues, current events, and politics in the Big Sky State. When it comes to faith and freedom, family really matters. Welcome back to the Family Matters Podcast. Derek A. Straker here in studio with Patrick Webb. Patrick, how are you?
I'm back in action. I know that Haley got the luxury of taking my position last week, and that's awesome that she was able to jump in. So,
I mean, no offense by this, but Haley's prettier than you.
Hey, offense none taken.
Well, I'm excited to have you back in studio. You know, we've been talking all morning today about some really interesting stuff, and we're jazzed about this episode. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about WPATH. We're going to talk about Live Not By Lies. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff that's going on around the state. I mean, we've got constitutional initiative primed here by the Montana Supreme Court. We've got a major appeal, one of the most important bills from the last session, Senate Bill 99, that we're going to talk about. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so you know, let's jump into it, Patrick. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, batting leadoff here is the World Professional Association of Transgender.
WPATH.
You know, it takes a little. A little while to get used to all these acronyms. You know, we have the Montana Medical Association, we have WPATH, we have the Human Rights Campaign, we have ACLU, Planned Parenthood. To a large extent, Patrick, from my perspective, they're all kind of on the same team. Mm-hmm. And you see that when you go and you testify on bills like Senate Bill 99, which was the bill to protect kids from puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and radical, irreversible genital mutilation surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, and before we get into this, maybe we should just caution our listeners. You know, if you have younger ears around, we're going to talk about some pretty heavy things. So if you have your kids around today for this episode, use your discretion. Maybe listen to this one first before we're not going to use any curse words or anything like that, but we're talking about some adult topics, that may not be suitable for kids. So I'll just put that out there because we're going to get into it. We've got an entire series of documents leaked from this organization called WPATH.
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair to WPATH, I think we should identify what they claim to be. Based off of their Wikipedia profile. Wikipedia, I think, is definitely the place where you're going to get the, you know, especially the leftist side, their own definitions in there.
That's right. So
it says that they are a professional organization devoted to the understanding and treatment of gender identity and gender dysphoria and creating standardized treatment for transgender and gender variant people. They were founded in 1979.
Can you imagine, you know, this, it seems like this transgender ideology kind of came out of nowhere, in recent years, you know, but it's been a slow, methodical infiltration into our culture and
into our medical institutions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Dr. Marsha Bowers is the current president of WPATH, and you might recognize Marsha Bowers from the film What Is a Woman, if you've ever watched that. This doctor is actually interviewed in that film. Mm-hmm. And look, WPATH in the realm that we're in, when we're talking about policy issues, they are often cited by clinicians, politicians, people in pop culture. And they're cited for this notion that the science on this issue is settled, mm-hmm. that gender-affirming care is safe, it's reversible if you want to reverse you know, whatever you've done to your body, and that it's quote unquote life saving.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll agree that it's life changing. Mm. It's going to change your life. It's going to rock your world. Oh, yeah. But life saving, boy, that's a heavy claim.
Yeah. They are recommending standards of care, and there are medical associations, not just in the United States, but all over the world, that take their recommendations and have been taking their recommendations for many years. So they had a series of leaks that came out, and these leaks are they're a big deal, because there are many organizations, again, that have been practicing in certain ways based off of their recommendations. And what these leaks really show, and we'll get into like some of the details of these leaks, but what these leaks are is they're video leaks. They're also chat, like internal chat leaks. And they show us very broadly a very different public facing, like how WPATH interacts with the public and what they tell the public versus what they're actually talking about behind the scenes in private. These are two very different things. Now, doctors are going to debate and have questions and figure out, you know, different things behind the scenes that maybe necessarily patients won't be on the receiving end of all the time. But the level that is going on behind the scenes, where they are directly contradicting themselves publicly and questioning a lot of the things that they've been advising doctors and medical associations across the world to adopt, it is very alarming. Very alarming.
Well, that's and to that point, Patrick, you know, folks, a lot of these organizations like WPATH, like the American Medical Association, like the Montana Medical Association, to name a few, it doesn't necessarily represent medical consensus about an issue. It's a political organization. Okay. Now, they're cited, obviously, and they have been for years, as the proof that there's medical consensus about some of these topics, like abortion, like transgender affirming care. They're cited as the authority on these topics. And that's not necessarily the case. It's just not. They're right. Political organizations, and we must call that out.
And we know that because, like, they actually have activists that are in these chat rooms. That's what some of these leaks show, that they have activists who are being allowed into these chat rooms who are giving their opinion as well, what they think should happen.
They're not physicians.
They're not at all.
They're activists.
They're political activists who are pushing an ideology. Right. Absolutely.
Right. And let's also note that it's activists from one side of the aisle, not both. So it's not a fair and balanced, you know, representation of activists. You know, there's activists for all sorts of issues on all sides of the issues, but this is what would we call it? Just confirmation bias?
Absolutely. And you know, what that outcome looks like is when you have someone who asks or is questioning the narrative in these chat rooms, we're finding they are oftentimes bullied by these activists in these chat rooms. So people are not asking questions. Right. Information comes up that they're concerned about, but no one will ask a question about it because there are activists in these chat rooms and in these videos that are pushing them down.
And that's consistent with our culture. Mm-hmm. That's cancel culture.
Right.
That's the woke mob.
Yep.
Okay. There's no dissenting opinion. We must all conform to this ideology or be shunned. So let's get into it, Patrick, because there's a lot of stuff in this WPATH files leak, and it's shocking. Mm-hmm. It's shocking. I mean, we're talking, and you've noted this. Mm-hmm. They have this public image that they're putting out there, and it's look, this is safe, you know, reversible, and life-saving. That's the big one for them. But behind the scenes, when you peel back that curtain, it's not a settled science. It's actually a pseudoscience. And there's admission from actual physicians in these communications that transitioning both adults and children can lead to painful complications, regret, and even life-threatening conditions like cancer, mm-hmm. especially for vulnerable populations. Mm-hmm. Here's one example. In the WPATH files, we have a WPATH doctor sharing with a colleague about one of his patients. It was a 16-year-old female patient. And this patient found two cancerous liver masses, tumors in her liver. And the oncologist and the surgeon that were providing care for this young girl both found that the offending agents here, the things that caused that cancer, were the hormones that this WPATH doctor was injecting into this girl. Mm-hmm. And despite knowing that the hormonal interventions, because it's not medical treatment, it's not gender-affirming care when you're injecting something unnatural into this girl's body. These hormonal interventions were the cause of the cancer. But they still persisted because of the ideology. They were prepared to support this patient, this 16-year-old girl, in any way they could. And what they meant by that was top surgery when she was stable enough to receive it. How shocking. How shocking is that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, doctors, and they talk about this, but doctors say, you know, it's not a surprise to us that there are hormones that are causing cancers, because it is not a new thing. I guess like back in the 40s and 50s, there was a DES hormone that was used for women. And it's a synthetic form of female hormone estrogen, right? And this hormone was given to women in the 40s and 50s, especially to try and help them with pregnancy. And it created all kinds of vaginal cancers. And so like, this is not new, but the thing that absolutely is new that we're seeing is that because this is an ideology, that because there are activists that are pushing this behind the scenes, there is not a warning that is going out to the public. There is not a warning that is going out to medical practitioners saying, hey, we have concerns about what these hormones are doing to people. We would advise that the medical community starts to take a look at this and pulls back practice or advises a different set of standards. They're not doing that as they normally would, because again, this is being politicized by the left and being pushed as an ideology.
And people are prepared to die for this ideology. Mm-hmm. That's how shocking this is to me. I mean, there was another patient mentioned in the WPATH files who developed liver cancer after taking testosterone for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So this is somebody who had transitioned, was taking testosterone, you know, not a natural occurring hormone for this person. And the quote from the WPATH files was, to the best of my knowledge, this is from the physician, to the best of my knowledge, it was linked to this hormone treatment, the testosterone. And it continues, it was so advanced, the cancer, that she opted for palliative care and died a couple months later. These people are prepared to die living this lie. They'd rather live that lie and die.
Well, and I think, like, you know, to be fair to many of them, because a lot of these people are victims, like, they don't know. They don't know because they trust their doctors. They're trusting these medical professionals, and they're saying, and if they're not telling them, because the doctors are afraid of losing their licenses or being canceled, right, by kind of the woke mob, so to speak, the receiving end of that are the patients who are, they're told, oh yeah, this is something that is real, and the solution is hormones, or the solution is surgeries, and they trust them. They trust them. It is the height. It is the peak of immorality.
Oh, and it's not just cancer. It's not just cancer. It's, you know, that these procedures, these hormone therapies, these puberty blockers, can cause really dramatic complications. Lifelong complications in sexual function. For those folks that are being treated, you can have pelvic inflammatory disease, pelvic floor dysfunction, and pain during any sort of arousal or sexual intercourse. You know, not to get too deep into the weeds in the topic of sexual intercourse, but that's a gift from God, and it's being distorted and perverted, and these procedures and medical interventions are destroying that for many, many lives.
Yeah. In another situation, there was surgeons discussing performing a surgery on a 14-year-old kid And their concerns that they talk about is that they might be sued. There might be dilation issues. They weren't sure what consent looks like in this situation. And again, the president of WPATH, Marcy Bowers, actually advised against doing it because the tissue is too immature, she said.
Yeah, the tissue. Listen to that. Because in the womb, that's how they describe you, as tissue.
Right.
Okay. And now, even after birth, at 14 years old or 28 years old, however old you are, you're just tissue.
Yeah.
It's you're not a human being.
Well, and like, this should not surprise people. I know many people are offended by this and upset by this. This is an industry. There are people that make millions of dollars off of this, billions of dollars off this. The pharmaceutical industrial complex is real. It makes money off of people. It makes money off of their pain. And we don't want to think about that. We want to pretend that every single, like our doctors, everyone that we go to in the medical community, that these are well-intentioned people. And I would say for the most part, many of them are. But when you have an ideology, a politicization of a topic to such a high degree, the incentives are not for people to do what is ethical and what is right. The incentives actually drive them to do what is immoral and what is wrong and what, you know, ultimately makes money for the people at the top.
Well, and you're creating the problem. Mm-hmm. You're claiming that the problem you're creating is the solution, you know, and then you have the solution for the problem you create in the first place. And let me explain that. You have a young person or an adult who has confusing thoughts about their gender. And imagine that in a world where you're being attacked all the time on your identity. You have confusing thoughts about that. And instead of affirming someone's biological sex and the way God created them, you say, well, somebody screwed up along the lines. Mm-hmm. We better change you. Mm-hmm. So that's the first lie. Mm-hmm. You know, that this problem you're creating is actually the solution for the problem this person is facing. And then you're creating lifelong patients. Yeah. So you create the problem and you're standing in the wings with the solution. And you're right, it's an industry. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Yep. And the sad thing is, like, we're also seeing in these industries, like, where these surgeries are taking place, where these procedures are taking place. When these people come back to them wanting to detransition, wanting to get out of this, they are not welcome back, because these individuals who come back and want to detransition, it challenges the ideology that it's false.
Right.
And so they cannot accept those people. They are not welcomed back into these communities and or into these, you know, places where they initially got this these treatments done to them,
where they're celebrated, where they're quote unquote affirmed.
Right.
Well, think about what WPATH president Marcia Bowers said. She said, quote, "Acknowledgement that detransition exists to even a minor extent is considered off limits for many in our community," end quote.
And there's no billing code for detransitioning. There is no billing code for it. So there's no way that the medical community is even able to track this. This is an institutional lie that has been magnified.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm thankful for voices of reason and voices of truth that have credibility on this issue as well, mm-hmm. because they've lived through it. People like Walt Heyer, who we had at our banquets last fall. You know, Walt is in his 80s now. And we talk about WPATH being in existence back in the 70s. Walt transitioned, you know, quote unquote, there is no real transition, Patrick, but he lived pretending to be a woman for about 8 years back in the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, before it was really prevalent, before it was widely known. And it was only through the power of Jesus Christ and that redemption and restoration through that relationship for Walt that he was able to break free from those chains of bondage. Mm-hmm. But now he's written many books. He's spoken hundreds and thousands of times all around the world
and guided thousands of people to find care after transitioning when they want to get out of that.
That's right. Lifestyle. Sexchangeregret.com is the website he started. You're absolutely right. He's helped thousands of people both avoid going through the same mistake, as he would call it, mistake as he did, and also navigating your way back after you've quote unquote transitioned.
And another that I found recently that, again, I haven't dug deep into this organization, but when I was researching this topic, their name was coming up a lot, an organization called GenSpect. Their director, Dr. Carrie Mendoza, was on some of these podcasts talking about these leaks and how big of a deal they were. They are an international alliance promoting a non-medicalized approach to sex and gender. I think that they're worth checking out for people. I'm not going to, give them a big flag of approval or anything, but I think that they seem to be on the right side on this issue, and they're worth, checking out as well.
Well, and I want to remind our listeners that this isn't some distant or faraway problem. Okay. This isn't like, just a New York or California issue. And we just read about it in the news, but it's not really threatening here in Montana. Now, folks, we had an elected representative from Missoula who claims to be a woman, is not biologically a woman. And that representative, I don't know if you've ever heard of Aaron in the Morning. Aaron Reed is this person's name. Aaron Reed claims to be a journalist and has this blog called Aaron in the Morning. And when the WPATH files leaked, Aaron Reed wrote this blog post claiming there were 216 instances of factual errors found in the, quote, right-wing WPATH files. I'll stop right there, Patrick, because the WPATH files are the files of WPATH. It's not some right-wing propaganda. It's legitimately the communications behind the scenes of WPATH doctors and their president. That's what it is. It's right. Not some right-wing conspiracy or something like that. But
yeah, they like to say that anytime we like chop up the things that are of interest in these videos or conversations. I mean, it's not like they're pasting words and like, making someone read a sentence or say a sentence that they never said. Like, these are real thing conversations that are happening. These are full paragraphs that are taken in context.
Right.
This is how leaks are done. People take the biggest, most hard-hitting things that the public needs to know about, and they magnify that so people can see it. That stuff, it is in context.
Right.
And we saw them do this. We saw this same reaction to the many, I forget the name of the leak, if it had a name, but the Planned Parenthood files that came out showing the trafficking of babies after they had been aborted.
Yeah, that was back in 2015. Mm-hmm. We had undercover video from Planned Parenthood locations around the country. Mm-hmm. That was a group called the Center for Medical Progress. And what they were discovering was shocking at that time and still at this time, because we know it's still going on. It was trafficking body parts of aborted babies.
Yeah.
And actually the folks that got and collected that undercover video were then prosecuted themselves.
Oh yeah.
And they were prosecuted for, I think one of the charges was creating fake IDs, and another was for attempting to purchase body parts. Mm-hmm. Incredible story that we could talk about some other time, but you're right. They take the truth and call it a lie, and they lie to you and call it the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the Bible says. They're going to call good evil, and they're going to call evil good. And look, we want to speak the truth on this podcast and always.
Yeah.
So we're going to call it out.
And Alexander Solzhenitsyn very famously had a quote, and he again survived the work labor camps of the Gulag in Soviet Russia, but he said, "We know they're lying to us. they know they're lying to us, and we know that they know that we're lying, that they're lying to us, or they know that we know that they're lying to us.
It's a little bit of who's on first there, but I know what you mean. Yeah. And I think they do.
Yeah.
And that's what the WPATH files show, is that in the public facing comments, they're going to propagate. And I think that's the appropriate term there for this propaganda. They're going to propagate these lies. But behind the scenes, they're trying to figure out what is the truth. And they don't know, or maybe they do, that this is damaging. I mean, another instance in the WPATH files, you know, when they're talking about youth specifically, not understanding the consequences of the choice to take a puberty blocker course of treatment, or to take cross-sex hormones, or to radically alter their body through surgery. Here's a quote from Dr. Daniel Metzger, who is a Canadian endocrinologist, and this is from the WPATH files. "We're often explaining these sorts of things to people who haven't even had biology in high school yet. It's always a good theory that you talk about fertility preservation with a 14-year-old, but I know I'm talking to a blank wall. They'd be like, ew, kids, babies, gross. Most of the kids are nowhere in any kind of brain space to really talk about fertility preservation in a serious way." Mm-hmm. They acknowledge, you're at 14 years old, at 12 years old, you're too young. Your tissue isn't mature enough, according to Marsha Bowers. But you're too young, you're too immature to handle the consequences of these types of adult decisions. Yet they go ahead and talk to these kids about it. And then at the same time, they tell the parents of these children, would you rather have a dead son or a living daughter?
Right. And, you know, they talk about a tipping point in this battle that's going on, in these lies that are being perpetuated all throughout the world. And the people that are combating this believe that we are reaching a tipping point potentially. There's a couple things that are going on around the world that kind of signify or signal that that is potentially happening. The NHS recently has decided to block puberty blockers from being used in Europe.
Yeah, and I'm so glad. I was so glad to see that decision, and it followed some of this WPATH leakage. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, children across the pond are protected from these radical medical interventions. But here in the United States, we're still being led along by groups like WPATH, by the American Medical Association, and other lobbyist, politically motivated, ideologically motivated organizations who are leading us down this path of destruction and lies.
Yeah. And, you know, we can still have hope. I mean, there's people that are working in these professions trying to help these people, actually help people that are struggling with this, with these questions of their identity, right? There are people that are genuinely trying to help them without destroying their futures, but with surgeries and hormones. And they believe that these are dominoes that are falling down now. Another thing that we're seeing in Finland, there's a study that is getting a lot of attention right now that takes that whole suicide trope about, you know, better a live daughter than a dead son type thing, and says that that does not hold weight, that when you actually look at the circumstances and the situations of these individuals who are, you know, facing these identity questions and suicide, that it is not connected like they say that it is. There's much more to the story there, and it is not as simple, and it is a ideological weapon that is being leveraged to try to force and coerce and make parents feel guilty that they need to take action and send their child in for hormone or surgeries, right?
Right. Yeah, no, and one of the things that struck me when we heard Walt Heyer speak in the fall last year, because obviously he's lived this, and so this is, you know, this is his life experience talking. And he said, you know, he never felt suicidal until after he had made that decision to have surgery and take those hormones. Because there was no going back after that. You couldn't reverse that. And I think when the celebration wears off for a lot of the folks that have detransitioned, when the celebration of and the affirmation of this new identity wears off, you're left with the cold, hard reality that you have mutilated yourself, that your life will forever be different than what it was going to be, and that there is no going back. And you need to deal with that reality. I think that's really difficult, just mentally and emotionally and psychologically.
Well, and, you know, again, to kind of go back into these leaks, when we're talking about these surgeries, I mean, and children that are getting them done and then realizing it didn't solve my problems, they know these things behind the scenes. They're admitting to them. In one of them, one of the WPATH members is discussing body integrity identity disorder.
Wow.
BIID. Characterized by an intense desire to amputate limbs, likening it to gender identity, and asserting that it's as unlikely to resolve without surgical intervention. So they're admitting that they don't even know if this is a gender identity issue or if this is people that just want to chop off healthy body parts. Right. And even if you do that, it may not be resolved. I mean, it's just really unfortunate that this is taking place and that there are innocent people that are getting caught in the crosshairs here.
Well, and they're admitting, and to that point, Patrick, in the WPATH files, they are admitting that the mere presence of a psych, and this is a quote, one WPATH member said, quote, "The mere presence of psychiatric illness should not block a person's ability to start hormones," end quote. So they're referring people for genital surgery and hormones, people who have been diagnosed with major depressive disorder, PTSD, and those that are homeless. And I think they're trying to treat an internal condition through external changes to the body. You know, you and I as believers, we know that we believe that everyone has a God-shaped hole in their life, and it can only be filled by God. It's God-shaped.
Right.
Boy, we try to fill that with all sorts of things, and I think the transgender ideology is
another
one of those things.
Yeah, that's right. It's another attempt at that, absolutely. But I think that people should be encouraged that the truth is coming out. People are going to realize as these WPATH files hopefully get more attention that the people that claim publicly that they know and that they're confident are not, and that many of this is motivated by money. Many of it is motivated by politics. And as that truth comes out, more and more people will lose faith in that. And we hope that that spreads like a wildfire before too many more people are hurt irrevocably with these treatments. And we're seeing the dominoes fall, and our hope and our prayers should be focused on seeing those dominoes fall in the United States as well.
Yeah.
And just across the world, and that there is an awakening that takes place where good people raise up their voices and say, we know that this isn't working and that this is not right. And we need to say enough is enough.
Right. Well, and I think as the body of Christ, the church, we also need to be prepared for this epidemic of people who are going to wake up, who are starved for truth, who have been lied to, who, believing that lie, have mutilated their bodies or taken cross-sex hormones and are living with those consequences. The church needs to be there to help guide them back to what is true, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see you know, those folks have the same sort of restoration that Walt Heyer has experienced through the power of the gospel. Because what a beautiful story he has. And if you're not familiar with Walt Heyer, we've talked about him a little bit on the podcast. Visit his website, sexchangeregret.com. Mm-hmm. You know, buy some of his books. What a powerful story.
Yeah.
So as the church, though, we need to be prepared for an epidemic of people that are going to wake up and detransition in one form or another, whether that's getting away from the cross-sex hormones or the puberty blockers or trying to live a normal life after going through a really destructive surgery.
Yeah, and the last thing that we want is to treat those people with, you know, disgust or hatred. I mean, those people are human beings. They need our love just like every other person out there. And while we do not need to affirm the ideology or the ideas, and we can stand against those ideas as being wrong and evil, those people, many of them are victims, and they need to be treated with the same love that Christ would treat them with.
Yeah, and speaking truth is love.
Yeah.
You can do it in a loving way. You can speak the truth with love and compassion. But affirming a lie is not loving.
Yeah.
It's not. And, you know, the last topic I wanted to talk to you about today, and this is something that we've talked about before, and it kind of spills right into it, Patrick, is you've talked to me often about a book called Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher. Mm-hmm. And I today just purchased the book. It's on its way to my mailbox because I want to read it as well. But so I really want to hand the baton off to you to talk about an exciting new docuseries that's in the works. But really it dovetails to what we're all working on at the Montana Family Foundation, and something that we're really excited about is the Family Leaders Project. So I know there's a lot there to unpack, but you're just the guy to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to be mindful of our time because I'm sure we're getting close, but very, very prevalent to this conversation, because Live Not by Lies is, in summary, a story about totalitarianism and the history of it in our world, and how it is continuing forth in our present day, and what we need to do to recognize it, and how we combat it. And that totalitarianism in history largely comes from the perspective of Marxism, communism, that in some estimates, was responsible for the death of up to 200 million people in the 20th century. Fascism, Nazism, National Socialism, right? These are forms of socialism. That's all they are. They're different forms of socialism, but people are very familiar with the crimes and the genocide against the Jewish people and the societal outcasts by the Nazis in World War II. Tens of millions of people dead. These are death cult ideologies that aim to eradicate people. And the people that are in charge of them oftentimes don't see them that way. They see that they are tools to stop something worse in some ways. But I think that the real enemy, the devil, behind the scenes uses them to kill as many people as possible and to oppress God's people into slavery. And as we see lies popping up in our society, things like, you are not worthy, you are not actually loved unless you change your body, or unless you actually become a man or become a woman. These are lies once and for all. We know they're lies because God created every person, every human being in his image. We are gifted with his qualities, many of his qualities, and in that, God does not make a mistake. And we are confident in that assurance through the Bible. And when you have society telling you something contrary to that message, that is, you know, in essence, it is a lie. But the way that society treats these things is that we believe that they are small things that we can give up for the sake of making sure that our friends, our neighbors, our family members, whoever it may be, feels good, that we don't offend them. Hmm. We don't want them to not feel loved. We want to make sure that we actually will affirm whatever they think about themselves so that they will continue to come over for dinner, or they will continue to have a relationship with us. And the church, I believe, gets caught in the crosshairs here sometimes when they believe that if they speak truth, that it will remove the opportunity to witness to these individuals, because these individuals will choose to not associate with the church. When in fact, all we're doing is we are affirming small lies. And these lies get bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, totalitarianism, as we saw in the Soviet Union, people would go about their day and they would tell lies to each other all day long. And it became normalized. And freedom, liberty, love, the things that God gave us and that He intended for mankind to have, those things cannot flourish in societies that are enslaved by totalitarianism.
Well, and we see that, Patrick, in China right now. It's not just this, you know, something that died off with the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. It's alive and well in China right now, and they have a countrywide social credit system. You know, you are judged by the government based on who you interact with.
Right.
How you conduct yourself according to whatever metrics they want to use. Mm-hmm. So if you associate with Christians, if you're reading your Bible and they see that, your social credit score is going to go down.
Or if you don't abide by their terminology, or, you know, their own version of woke ideology, whatever it may be, if you do not affirm what the state tells you is right, you are punished for it.
Right.
To the degree where you cannot do business in the economy.
You can't buy or sell. Mm-hmm. Boy, does that ring some alarm bells for Christians? Yeah. You know, that's totalitarianism on steroids, but that's how technology has made totalitarian regimes more capable of imposing themselves on their people.
Yeah, that's 21st century totalitarianism. What they call, another terminology for that is turnkey totalitarianism, this concept that you don't see firing squads around you, you don't see, you know, these things, but you have a system of very powerful computers that are monitoring everything you do and report everything you do.
It's an Orwellian future.
Yeah.
But it is.
And the answer, right? I mean, the answer that, again, Rod Dreher calls out for, and this does seem like it's going to be a launched docuseries on Angel Studios.
Angel Studios, the same studios that you know, they created, what, the Sound of Freedom movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Chosen is on there.
Chosen. A lot of great stuff from Angel Studios. Yeah. So
they're going to be releasing that at some point. I think they're still trying to gather some support for it, some financial support for it to complete it. But they have a great little, I mean, it's about a 12-minute trailer for it. But it's you know, the solution that Rod Dreher calls for is looking to the Christian dissidents of the past, how they engaged with totalitarian regimes, and in those cultures what they did. And they came together. They came together. They continued to do what they felt God was asking them to do. They continued to spread the gospel, regardless of what the government told them to do. They continued to spread the ideas of liberty and freedom, and kept people's hope alive. They acted as that light on the hill that Christ told us, don't cover your light. Mm-hmm. Put it on a hill so that everyone can see it. And that's what these people were. And they absolutely, across the 20th century, across the 21st century, have been responsible for the collapse of totalitarian regimes throughout history.
Right. Well, and as Christians, we're the salt of the earth. So we're supposed to season and flavor and preserve.
And restrain evil.
Restrain evil. Yeah. So that's what we're doing here at the Montana Family Foundation. You know, we are... boy, I think we're busier than ever right now. We've got your family leaders program is up and running in multiple communities around the state. If you have an interest, you're listening today and you have an interest in getting involved, reach out, visit our website to find out more, reach out to Patrick.
Call our office. They'll get you to where you need to be.
Yeah. Now is the best time to get involved because look, folks, just last, Monday, we had a decision from the Montana Supreme Court that told the Attorney General he was wrong when he found that ballot issue 14 was legally deficient. So the Supreme Court said it's legally sufficient. And what that means is it's going to proceed forward towards the signature gathering component of the initiative process. And so if you're not familiar with citizen initiatives, ballot issue 14 was authored by Planned Parenthood of Montana. And what they want to do is they want to put abortion in our constitution here in Montana as a constitutional right. And let me tell you, folks, I've read the initiative language. It is broader than they will tell you. This would allow for partial birth abortion, for late term abortion. This would prevent grieving parents who lost a child due to medical malpractice from suing that doctor and recovering. This would prevent the state from effectively regulating abortion. This is expansive. This is terrifying. This would promote sex traffickers taking their victims in to get abortions. And there would be no parental consent. There would be no parental notice for a minor girl who's getting an abortion procedure. So this is a very, very big, heavy topic. And folks, if you want to get involved, be praying. You want to find out more, reach out to our main office. We'd be happy to talk to you. That's on the legal front. We also have the Senate Bill 99 appeal that we're going to be authoring an amicus brief for. And then church engagement. Keith Downey, our director of the Church Ambassador Network here in Montana, he hit the ground running this month, getting connected with pastors and churches to reignite the church in Montana to their rightful position as shepherds of God's people, to go hand in hand and minister to the shepherds of government, our elected leaders. It's such a beautiful concept, and Keith Downey is just the right person to do it. So we are busy at the Montana Family Foundation. That's just some of the stuff, because I know Jeff is working on a multitude of issues as well. So we are full steam ahead, and we have Mindy and Debbie working on all sorts of things. It is fun to be working to advance the kingdom of God here in Montana. And if you're interested in joining us, praying for us, learning more, please visit our website, montanafamily.org. Reach out to our main office. You can find our office number on our website. If you're able to, and don't have the time to contribute your own time to any of these efforts, and you're able to contribute financially, we encourage you to do so. This is heavy work, and it's not cheap to fight these battles. So, folks, if you made it this far, thank you so much for tuning into the Family Matters podcast. On behalf of Patrick, myself, and all the team at Montana Family Foundation, thank you, and God bless.